This episode of the Staggering Stories podcast was recorded before the death of Siobhan Galishaw. We dedicate all the fun, frivolity and jollity to our friend and would like to tell her that we love her to the end of the world and back, and that her timing leaves a lot to be desired. For Siobhan.
For Siobhan.
Was Christmas time in Starfleet land? The tinsel stuff looked rather grand, the festive balls were sparkling, and the crackers needed pulling. Out back were bays for shuttlecraft, for starships sensible and daft, with stalls for reindeer kept in aft, and pens to put the bull in. Their host was Quark, his ears a-tingle, watching as his guests did mingle, next-gen crew and station staff ganged up on Kirk and Co., when Janeway and all her gang gave party time that certain bang, and Spock did raise an eyebrow up and mutter, thrice times ho. There is no logic in this beard, and bright red shirts are to be feared. I am not jolly or rotund, I cannot fill your stockings. But Dax did grin and grasp his ear, said, Spock, my sweet, come over here, and whispered words that Vulcan's son found curiously shocking. Behind them Worf did glare and growl, imagined ways to disembowel, when Torres slunk past on the prowl and got his senses rearing, and Paris darted past with drinks, said, come on, love, this party stinks, let's find a cosy cubbyhole, alone, Worf, I'm not sharing. Frustrated Klingon hit the booze, sang songs on tables to amuse, saw Troy and Riker chatting, and grabbed mistletoe and more. Said, sorry if this seems offhand, but frankly, sir, I think you're grand. Kissed Riker's startled nose and passed out cleanly on the floor. But now the party fun was flowing, McCoy bought booze to keep things going, challenged all around him to a game of down in one. An hour passed and eyes were glazed and bones slurred. God, I'm quite amazed. My whiskey hasn't got you phased, said Data. That was fun. My android system likes this game. My joints will never be the same. And bones did growl. God damn it, I'm a doctor, not a sponge. I didn't know that you're not human. God in heaven, boy, I'm fuming. Dropped his glass in anger and across the table lunged. Kirk and Jean-Luc sat and chattered, watched as Android got quite battered, didn't try to help because they wondered who would conquer. And Kirk did laugh and sneer and brag, and Jean-Luc said, your doctor's bad, but mine is pretty, not a hag, and you don't get to bonk her. Scotty finally worked up nerve and offered Crusher an hors d'oeuvre and asked her for another dance and twirled her on the floor. And Bev did gulp the starter down and flourished past him in a gown, said, sorry, Scott, I'm feeling down, and bolted for the door. As Wesley watched his mum run past, he drained the whiskey from his glass and tried to put some moves upon that woman from the station. And Sisko laughed with Janeway, they shared a joke, what can I say, and found his gaze kept straying to Uhura in frustration. While in the corner, Kira turned and jumped and yelped like she'd been burned and dropped her glass of wine and then smacked Wesley on the nose. Said, touch my butt again, you die, and smacked him once more in the eye, picked up a nearby chocolate pie and wiped it down his clothes. And finally, the worst occurred. Quark shouted loud so all had heard, the alcohol is gone and all the nibbles have been downed. But should you feel a certain need to stay and clean up, please feel free. They left the bar at record speed and Quark just stood and frowned. 'Twas Christmas time in Starfleet land, the tinsel stuff looked rather grand, the festive balls had shattered and the floor with glass was riddled. Outside the starships pulled away and Sisko, Kirk and Janeway saw Jean-Luc cuffed and hauled away for flying while he's piddled.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Christmas Staggering Stories Podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Jean.
I'm Stephen.
I'm Jay.
And I, yes, I am...
an absolute delight with tinsel wrapped round you.
He hasn't got tinsel wrapped round him.
No, but I'm saying he's an absolute delight when he has.
Okay. You didn't see me earlier today.
Where was it wrapped around? A very small bit of tinsel. Okay.
What your little fetishes are, you keep to yourself, love. Welcome, 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 one and all.
Well, he's just done that.
Did you?
He
said, welcome to the Christmas podcast. He didn't tell him what number it was.
Just say it all again.
All right,
you
then.
Just say this is podcast 461.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
And now the news with El Presidente.
What she just said.
Oh, I didn't say it very well, so why don't you say it?
Welcome to Staggering Stories.
Look. Can't you just say, this is podcast number 461, and now the news with El Presidente.
Well, there you go.
I could do it if you want.
Yeah.
This is podcast 461, and now the news with El Presidente.
You see, you want the job done, you made me get a man in. And for that, I'll never forgive you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year. Doctor
Who news. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Hartnell's animated savagery.
Arr.
It's been about half a year since the last Doctor Who animated reconstruction was released, The Celestial Toymaker, and now the next in the line has been announced. Doctor Who : The Savages is now up for pre-order in the usual places and in the usual physical release forms. This 1966 story was the penultimate of Doctor Who's third season and featured William Hartnell as the First Doctor, Peter Purves as Stephen Taylor and Jackie Lane as Dodo Chaplet. None of the four episodes survived, but as ever, those resourceful but slightly naughty fans that audio recorded the broadcasts are coming to the rescue. The set will be three discs with both colour and black and white versions, plus a host of currently unspecified special features. Unlike the Celestial Toymaker, this animation is returning to the more common 2D style used by most Doctor Who missing animations. Expect a UK release around the 24th of March 2025. You've gone to your little happy place, haven't you?
I might invest in this one.
Okay.
I probably will.
Yeah.
Winding him up is so easy now. There's so many things. You just tell him you think Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
It's a movie set at Christmas.
Or mention the type of animation that he doesn't like. And he goes on for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Die Hard is so a Christmas movie.
It is not.
Indeed.
It is not.
If you remove Home Alone a Christmas movie?
That's it.
It's set at Christmas.
Debatable. No. A Christmas movie specifically should have either something that's exclusively tied to Christmas.
Like going home for Christmas.
I Santa Claus, reindeer, or specifically Christmas magic.
But this is Christmas magic, because the whole thing about Home Alone was that he was learning the true meaning of Christmas and family.
Home Alone's exactly the same. He just happens to be Santa
Christmas. And Die Hard's exactly the same. He just really needed his family.
No, Die Hard is a Harry Potter film.
Well, yes, it's a bloke running around a castle trying to get away from Snape.
Yes. Oh. Running around a tower trying to get away from Snape.
And then what happens at the end is the universe repaying Alan Rickman for what he did to Emma Thompson in Love Actually.
Which I didn't realise he actually did that fall stunt himself.
Yeah, they dropped him. Well, he didn't fall from the top of the building. It was like six foot. He did the actual stunt himself,
but it was the very, very, very last thing they shot in case it didn't work.
Well, they told him they'd count to three before they dropped him, and they counted to one and dropped him.
Yeah.
Anyway,
more of this debate, I think, when we review the film we're going to talk about.
I think so.
Yes, yeah.
So we're just confirming that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, yeah?
No.
Seven votes, shall we?
Oh, let's take a vote. Who here, amongst the six of us, think Die Hard is a Christmas movie?
Well, that's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
You said to me, you watched it off the plane.
So that was five hands to
five
none.
Five hands to listeners.
Yeah, but I said that because that's what I thought. But to wind you up, okay. I'm saying it's a Christmas movie.
Anyway.
We're sorry.
It's almost like
Jay is here. We have to be sensible.
Yeah.
Back to the news.
Jay, would you like to read the next news item?
I would like to read the next news item.
I'm so sorry, I just kicked Stephen's microphone.
Okay. Doctor Who : unofficial Troughton animation.
Ooh.
There have been many fan reconstructions of missing Doctor Who episodes over the years, but a new one for the Troughton story, The Wheel in Space, perhaps deserves a mention. This six-part Cyberman story features Patrick Troughton as the Second Doctor, Fraser Hines as Jamie McCrimmon, and introduces Wendy Padbury as Zoe Herriot. Four of the parts are missing from the archive, and now a YouTuber named TARDIS Time Girl and her partner have animated those missing episodes.
Ooh.
It is 3D animated. Yep, sorry, Keith. But it's done extremely well, based on the available telesnaps, and is sympathetic to the style of the time, including being in black and white and 4:3 aspect ratio. This is particularly important, as you will need to watch them in tandem with the surviving episodes 3 and 6. A link to TARDIS Time Girl's channel will be in the show notes. If you do give it a watch, let us know what you think. The BBC have apparently turned down the option to use it, as they feel fans do not want this style of animation.
Yes, we do. It's really good.
Well, if people don't buy Cecil Toymaker, then...
It's the difference between having special effects done on a modern computer that look decent, or special effects look like they've been done on a ZX Spectrum. That's the difference we're talking here.
I think it's more that the BBC apparently turned it down, the option, as they feel it will be too costly to keep doing it along that style.
Well, that would be a more honest reason.
They're of the opinion that people don't like the 3D animations after the web...
With the best feeling in the world, they weren't particularly brilliant.
Yeah, well, exactly, they got the wrong message. It's not that 3D is inherently bad.
As I've said with the Webbed Planet, I can understand why the style is like it was, because I was in the...
Web of Fear.
Sorry, Web of Fear. Because I was in Hooverville when...
Gary Russell.
Gary Russell was holding court, and they had tidal waves, the pandemic... earthquakes going on while they were doing it. But even so, it still damaged their reputation putting that out.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like saying, oh, that movie that was filmed in colour didn't do very well, so it must be people don't like colour movies. No, it's just that particular colour movie wasn't that good. We're ready for colour movies in the black and white era.
What was the first colour movie?
The Robe, I think.
Well, as I say, it's what Sony thought with the Spidey, the adjacent Spider-Verse.
But you don't cast the whole by one style.
Venom did so well, so obviously they don't want Spider-Man films, they want Spider-Man villain films.
Talking of which, John Craven the Hunter just came out. And
I've got an addendum about that later.
Okay, we'll wait for that.
La 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 la.
Arnold Yarrow
dead. He took his time about it.
Yes.
Actor and writer Arnold Yarrow has been power drained to death, aged a very impressive 104.
That is really impressive.
Yeah.
That's a definite good innings.
Yeah, very good innings.
For Doctor Who fans, Yarrow will always be Bellal in Pertwee's Death to the Daleks from 1974, when he was already 53 years old.
That's so terrifying.
He spoke to Toby Haydock on how he breathed life into the fully enclosed character of Bellal.
I visited a zoo and saw some marmosets and bush babies, and this inspired me. Looking at the way they conveyed their feelings, I thought the script echoed the underground Morlocks from The Time Machine.
Ooh. Other roles included appearing in London's Burning, The Chinese Detective, The
Odeon Line.
The Wandin Line, or the Odeon Line, if you will.
Or even the Oneidan Line, if you're going to pronounce it correctly.
Coronation Street, the Andromeda Breakthrough Dial 999, Macbeth and Benny Bloom in EastEnders. As a writer, he wrote for EastEnders, Warship, Crown Court, Z-Cars, and script edited Softly, Softly Task Force. He's survived by his younger brother, who is a mere 100 years old.
What's their secret?
Good set of genes there. Yeah.
Well, they're, this is the thing, their parents are still alive.
And do we have any addendums?
No.
Well, I have an addendum.
What is your addendum?
Hang on, I've got to get to it. Where are we?
If I had an addendum, it would be ready.
RPG Project.
Ooh.
All right.
As I've mentioned, RPG games are fairly close to my heart. And
In
all the podcasts I've heard, I've never heard you mention RPGs.
But RPG Dice are bringing out Braille Dice.
They are so cool.
Oh, brilliant.
Cool. You can buy from their website. Hopefully, they'll be in the show notes if I remember to pass the article to Adam. But also, more importantly, if you have a 3D printer, you can download them for free from their website.
Have to have a resin printer for that. Well, but yeah.
But even so, you still can download them for free.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah.
Mm. I just wanted to ask a question, Mister.
By all means.
For those of us that aren't sure, what's an RPG?
You poor thing. Can you explain it to the younger generation?
I think he's just winding Keith up.
Karen?
Yes, dear?
Do me a flavour.
Yeah?
A flavour?
Just clip him round the back of the head.
No!
I knocked my microphone off.
Gotta be careful with those high fives in future.
Any more addendums?
Adam has an addendum.
I do. A sad one.
It is.
David McKinty.
Dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was a shock.
Yeah, he's a writer.
Yeah.
Done quite a lot of tie-in Doctor Who novels, things
quite
like that.
A few of the,
he was in Galley a couple of times.
Yes.
Virgin books. Yeah.
Yeah, he's friends with many people in the community. He wrote some Virgin New Adventures. Sanctuary,
Frontier. That's one of the best ones, Sanctuary.
White Dark. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. The Shadow of Wing Chiang.
Yeah.
A load of stuff. Star Trek.
How old was he?
55, apparently, which is not a good innings at all.
Stressing. That's how old I am. Keith can't remember 55.
I think he's been unwell for a little while, but yeah. But still, yeah, he also read a couple of big finishes. Excellus Rising, Unregenerate.
Best wishes to his family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I'm not sure if I should mention this final addendum now, because it's sort of slightly taking the mickey.
Oh, God. Okay. What is it?
Well, still looking for that perfect gift for a goth in your life.
Right.
Who has everything? Or perhaps you've been searching for the bed that will double as a conversation piece and nightmare fodder.
What?
It's a coffin.
Is this perhaps the Nosferatu thing?
They've remade Nosferatu. It's opening on New Year's Day.
Oh, really? Okay.
Cinema?
It's cinema. But you can now get Nosferatu's replica sarcophagus bed. You could actually sleep in the tomb of Count Orlok.
All right, okay.
We're
having our room adjusted as we speak.
20,000, 25,000, including shipping.
Yeah. How do you get it without shipping?
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
I have to admit, handy for people who really don't like any light in their room.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about curtains.
Yeah.
Apparently comes with a foam mattress on inside. The bed itself is made out of wood and brass, but the top is fiberglass, so you can easily lift it off and put it back on again.
Until people put something on it.
If you're in there.
Does it have air holes?
I believe it does have air holes.
Any more addendums?
No more addendums for me.
I don't know, it's three addendum. I just wanted to give a shout out to my dad, who was talking about deaths and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He wasn't famous, but he's still my dad.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yes, he's a member of the Staggering family by association.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Dad.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's the end of the news.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Should we do a game?
Yeah. All right, crackers.
Crackers!
Crackers!
Cracker Jack.
Your biscuits, my lady. Your crackers, my lord.
Your nuts, my love. We have crackers here. Adam is getting crackers. Adam is shopping crackers. One. You want the red one?
It's a good film.
I love the white one. Ooh.
Oh, here you go, let's see. I'll get that one there.
Mine makes a good noise.
I got a silver one.
No, I've got a...
Would you like to pull my cracker, young man?
I'm not sure what colour you call that.
I will pull your cracker.
Shall I pull your cracker?
Yeah, pull my cracker.
Oh, thank you.
Two, three. Oh, we each got one.
Hanker.
What do we have in here?
Hold on. Oh, you got both ends.
Well, I can't put the cracker hat on because I already have my Santa hat on.
You can put it over the top.
I got a tiny pack of playing cards.
Good quality.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, these are good crackers.
I've got a pen.
You have to
You have a pen.
I have a wood reindeer tree decoration in a circle.
Do you have a tree?
Well, I do, but I haven't put it up yet. I've been dead with the girls around. I'm stealing myself for that one.
Is it their first Christmas? Have they had
It'll
Christmas?
Be their second Christmas. Second Christmas. But their first Christmas, they didn't pay too much attention.
Yeah.
This time round, I think it might be different.
Oh, I've got... It looks like a solid silver girl with a skipping rope.
Oh, weird. What's it meant to be for?
I guess that's another tree ornament, maybe.
Either that or it's some sort of, you know, like when you stab pins in things and people cry.
Oh, it could be, yeah, a little voodoo doll thing.
Voodoo, thank you. Yeah. I'd forgotten the word.
I've got a joke.
Okay, go on then.
What did the beaver say to the tree?
I don't know. What did the beaver say to the tree?
Nice knowing you.
I have a joke.
Oh, what is your joke?
What kind of motorcycle does Father Christmas ride?
I don't know. What kind of motorcycle does Father Christmas ride?
A Holly Davidson.
I have a joke.
Go on then.
What starts with a T, ends with a T, and is full of tea?
Me.
I don't know.
What starts with a T in the morning for breakfast, I do. And is full of tea.
Is it a four-letter word?
No.
Is it a teapot?
It is a teapot.
Oh, God, is it? Sorry.
I've got a joke.
You have a joke, Jake. Come on then.
Okay. What is the difference between the Christmas alphabet and the ordinary alphabet?
I don't know.
What is the difference between the Christmas alphabet and the ordinary alphabet?
The Christmas alphabet has no L.
Come on, there's at least one more.
Yeah, okay, here we go then. What do snowmen like on their nachos?
I don't know. What do snowmen like on their nachos?
Chili.
Oh.
Not a good one, no.
Why can only tiny fairies sit under toadstools?
I don't know why tiny fairies sit under toadstools.
Because there's not much room.
Just so you know, Adam, there's glitter everywhere, and this time it's not really my fault.
Where did it come from?
It came out of my cracker and things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The cracker that you had.
Yeah, but
he bought.
He bought them.
I've got a little badge. Apparently I'm Santa's favourite.
Oh, bless.
How much do you pay him?
Okay.
Right, because we're all in the festive spirit.
Ho, ho, ho.
Even Keith.
On the street corner.
We decided to watch a Christmassy film.
You will have all seen
It's a Wonderful Life, which is
a beautiful film.
A classic Christmas film. Even though Gene is a Grumposaurus and doesn't like it.
I've never seen it. I didn't like it.
You said, and I quote, "Damn it, that was 2 hours of my life I'm not getting back." What a load of rubbish that was. Oh my God, I think the developer should have been the hero of that show. George Bailey, what a wuss. Verbatim.
I think you're Trump, aren't you, over there? You're making it up.
I think you may be quoting out of context there slightly.
Not even quoting.
Well, you said those words, but not necessarily in the one sentence.
Or in one year.
Yeah, at the same time during the year.
Anyway,
I don't think I ever said the developer was a hero.
Anyway, the follow-up to that film, as is well known, the sequel, is called It's a Wonderful Knife. Pause for music. I've got glitter all over my glasses.
It's quite a new film, this. It was made in 2023.
It's only recent.
Yeah.
I think it's an American Christmas horror comedy film.
I think it was by Shudder, which is one of the streaming channels.
So. Oh, is it?
We've all watched this, so we will all agree that this qualifies as a film Dave would watch.
Oh, yes, definitely, right up Dave Street.
Yeah.
You've got the little town of Angel Falls, rather than Bedford Falls. Mm-hmm. You've got teenagers, so you just know there's going to be trouble, because quite frankly, you've got the odd teenager who was tastefully and tactfully nicknamed Weirdo.
Yeah.
You've got the preppy good girl.
Mm-hmm.
You've got her preppy brother, who, as it's 2023, isn't afraid to admit that he's gay, which was good. and his parents accepted it.
Yeah.
You've got what's-his-face from Community.
Yes.
Joel McHale. Thank you.
You've also got the Queen Bee bitch.
Oh, yes, you have. The mother. Oh, no, the friend. Yeah, the friend. Or the friend. Not friend.
Yeah.
And you've got the smarmy, slimy mayor who wants to own the whole town.
Yeah. Mr. I'm a PC.
Yeah. And then you've got the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The Northern Lights.
Not David Borealis. Aurora Borealis.
Do you mean David Boreanaz?
Yes. But he changed his name for one's Family Guy. And...
Oh, you're right. He did, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Do you mean David Bowie?
No. So set it up before we get to the Aurora bit.
All right, so basically, my hat fell off.
Oh, no!
Basically,
hat crisis.
There's been a murder.
A murder?
There's been a couple of murders.
At least two.
At least two. Mm. And the town's all worried, and there's a murderous... All they know is there's a murderous angel on the loose, and all people are worried. But, of course, the teenagers have a party in a house without adult supervision.
We've jumped. We haven't a ballroom or realist yet.
No, I know, because this happens before it.
This does happen before it, because...
I would like to point out, I'm sorry, I've gone all year, with this woman. You're denting my Christmas vibe over there.
That Aurora stuff's a year later.
Yeah. Is she denting your calm?
My calm is dented. Anyway, as I said, oh, thank you, Stephen. Stephen undented my calm.
That's my wife.
So anyway, there's a party, weird girls there.
I'd like to point out that the first victim was the granddad, who was actually Cancer Man
X-Files. I knew I recognised him somewhere.
He's holding on to his house property. And he's not selling it to the mayor.
Slimy mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's the first one. But he does say that if he dies, then his inheritance passes down to his granddaughter.
Who is the second victim.
Absolutely no setup there at all.
Yeah. And it's then followed by the third victim, who is Preppy Girl's brother.
Yes.
And at that point, the world loses all joy for her. She'd like Jean.
But he's one of the best horror deaths ever. Kills with a candy cane.
Yeah. That was really good.
Through the back of the head.
I don't think I've ever seen candy canes that sharp.
No, that was really sharp.
And a really big candy cane.
I have seen that. Not the big candy cane, but the film we watched the night before.
Oh, Violent Night.
Where Santa sharpened the candy cane by sucking it for half an hour.
That's another one we recommend. Violent Night, starring David Harbour. Awesome.
Anyway.
Very, very gory.
Anyway,
so the world has lost all meaning.
Yeah. Well,
so she ventures to the bridge.
We find out who did the murder because she executed.
Oh, she witnessed it.
She killed the murderer.
Yeah. She killed him.
She zapped the angel.
Were they car charged?
It was a car battery.
And she zapped him.
And he was...
Dun, 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 dun.
Hooked. Slimy dude.
The evil developer.
Yeah.
The mayor with two white teeth.
The very start of the film starts with him doing an advert.
Yeah.
And the moment it started, I thought, he's the killer.
Yes.
Instantly,
he's never going to be a good guy, was he?
No. He was tanned.
Walters.
Yeah, he was tanned and had extra white teeth.
Yeah.
So she goes to the bridge because she's feeling bad. And she basically takes it out on the Aurora Borealis.
It's a year later, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Next Christmas.
And her parents are trying to pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
And she can't do that. Yeah. So she's going to jump off the bridge. But then the Aurora Borealis does something funky.
No, she says, I wish I'd never been born.
Yes.
Well, that's a given. Yeah, she did.
That's the tie-in with...
Well, the whole thing.
Wonderful life.
And the Aurora Borealis does some weird shit. And then all the lights have gone. And it's scary. And she's in. Quiet. And she witnesses another murder, doesn't she?
Yes.
By the angel.
By the white angel, yes. Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
And shenanigans ensue, because nobody knows who she is, funnily enough.
She was never born.
No.
The only person she manages to convince that she is her aunt.
It was the first weird girl.
Weird girl. Who was accepted, cautiously.
Weird girl's accepted her, but doesn't necessarily believe that she is.
But nobody else talks to her because they're gits.
But she persuaded her aunt. Because of remembering that her aunt got a thong stuck on something.
Something or other.
She went back in time.
Yeah. No, no,
No, she's back in time because her brother's been dead for a year. Because
in the present time.
Because Thingy from Community is a broken man.
She never actually was born, so she didn't kill Thingy the first time round.
And the mayor's still alive.
Yeah,
the
mayor is. Many deaths.
Was it 26, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
The mayor is still alive. Daddy's now broken. And mum has gone completely off the rails.
She's completely gone.
And seeing a bit on the side.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's quite right in front of daddy's nose. Yeah.
And the mayor's brother is the sheriff. The mayor's really stupid brother.
And they're all in curfew. And everyone wears grey. Except for Weird Girl and our heroine.
There's no colour to the town anymore.
It's really quite clever, I noticed, that everything's in grey.
Subtle.
So what do the teenagers do?
Have a party!
Yes, that's what they do.
Because we're going to die anyway, man. I don't care, man.
Whereas in the first half of the film, they were all just teenagers. They were silly, like the gummy bear.
The gummy bear weed.
Cannabis gummy bears, Now there's nothing fun about them.
No, it's straight out the most of
out
smoking
of the bowl
pipes
and so it's not fun anymore. It's like they're just waiting for their turn to die, which is a sad thing at Christmas.
Weird girl, she finds out that her boyfriend's been sleeping with sorority girl for 3 years.
Queen bitch.
She found that out before. They were
sleeping together for about a year, but in the alternate reality, they've been together for 3 years.
I find that bit actually quite sweet because they do seem to have been meant to be together. It's just they'd taken a wrong turn somewhere.
She basically has to, her and Weird Girl...
Bernie.
...work out that she's got to kill...
The mayor,
Henry, to get back...
Well, they figure they have to kill the killer first of all.
Yeah.
Well, because she knows the killer is...
She thinks it's the mayor.
Yeah.
Yes. Twist!
Plot twist!
Another quite blatant one you saw,
Marla. Oh, totally. I think I called it 15 minutes before. What was the twist, G? Oh, spoiler music.
Her father is the killer angel.
What? No.
Broken man after his son was killed.
Yes.
His only child.
So it was an excellent death that they got him with, wasn't it?
So really I suspect good. Henry was the original killer and then farmed it out to her.
It seemed to not just him. It seemed to... The suggestion was that townsfolk were doing it.
Yeah.
I believe that Henry actually, or someone admitted that Henry killed the first one. And that broke David.
Yeah.
And then David
was
happy to go, well, not really happy, but just going along with everything that Henry wanted at that point.
Yeah.
A scene that's like at Village of the Damned.
Oh, very much
where
so.
The eyes are all glazed over and the mayor's going, "You're on my naughty list," and stabs his own brother because he's applied for a job in another police station.
He shouldn't have bothered because his brother was so stupid. He was never going to get a job on a proper police force.
Not quite sure how he was doing the trance thing, though.
Yeah,
we weren't sure. They seemed to...
The implication is it was the dead version of the original him was still hanging around mixed up with the Aurora somehow.
Possibly, but
so
it didn't...
doing kind of evil influence over...
It wasn't given express...
No, they just suddenly seemed to be in a trance.
Suddenly, as they were writing the script, they suddenly thought, oh, let's make it a trance and give an excuse to follow him.
Normal people aren't going to stand there and watch while the mayor stabs people to death.
Yeah. Though, you know, look at the certain clinical characters over the pond. You might quite believe it.
So she does a decent thing.
And stabs the mayor.
And stabs the mayor.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Bernie.
Bernie does. Yes. Bernie. So the Aurora Borealis let her go back home.
I love the bit,
there's
though.
There's no place like home.
There was no heel clicking, was there? Very disappointing.
There was heel clicking. It was front of the feet clicking.
Yeah.
But in the cinema, that's where she did try and do the heel clicking.
Yeah, she did. And she slept with her legs up like that. They'd be completely dead by the time she woke up, wouldn't they?
You would think. There again, she's 17.
Yeah.
But I did like the bit where they said, because they killed the father and thought perhaps that was it, but the Aurora Borealis was angry.
And it went red.
It did.
And it's a wonderful life, isn't it?
Yes.
In that this is what it would look like if she didn't exist. But there was a lovely play between her and Bernie as to which one of them is which character, which is the angel,
Clarence.
And which is
who's
preppy girl Clarence, and weird girl is George Bailey.
But it's the other way round because Preppy Girl was Weird Girl was going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Winnie. Oh, sorry, Bernie's going.
Bernie was going to commit suicide
because when she realised when it all went back to normal and she's running to Bernie's house, I said to Keith, "If she's too late, this is a real downer."
Really end the film on a high point.
I mean, you know me. I'm not apart from decent, really decent horror movies like Alien and The Thing. I'm not that much into slasher movies. Yeah, I love this.
Wasn't it wonderful?
It's done so tongue-in-cheek. I mean, the first killing where we cut through the throat, you can see it's the prosthesis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not...
Not a big budget film.
It's gory in that there's like,
there's a lot of blood.
Red paint up against the window.
It's almost Monty Python level.
Well, it was, because you were getting the shot through the window where everyone's partying on the inside, and then on the outside, the angel is bludgeoning someone.
You see the arm going up the
floor. Nobody notices.
Also, I love the fact that for the first 40-odd minutes, the murderer would murder somebody, blood everywhere, but they'd still be completely white.
Pristine and white.
It was only towards the end when he got absolutely covered.
But then the next time you saw him, he was pristine white again.
Yeah. He had several suits, because you're not getting blood out
of him. No,
so easily.
He's going to need to soak it.
And he has a kind of, like, white featureless mask.
Yeah.
How the heck does he see out that thing?
Perhaps that's why he's so angry and killing people.
Also, I was impressed that a 12-volt battery could kill somebody quite that.
Oh, he was very dead.
Well, it was a 12-volt battery, but it was connected up to an alternator that sort of stepped it up, you see.
Part of it was in the swimming pool. So, But I'm glad you liked it, Jean, because I thought this was... wonderful.
It was so
much fun.
I sort of like turn this on with trepidation.
I think our friend
is setting us up or something.
I think what we said was, well, should we get this over with?
Well, see, the thing is, I initially did a scan on Google to find Christmas movies with a supernatural sci-fi bent or whatever, and this popped it up, and we looked at each other and didn't know it, and then I put the trailer up on the screen, and that's it, that's the one.
And the nice thing is, at the end of it, Winnie and Bernie become friends.
Yes,
of
course. A bit more than friends, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because sometimes girls can get a bit lovey-dovey and huggy and kissy and that.
Yeah.
That's just a girl thing.
Tongue hockey, just for...
Keith's just there, if you want to. Put your tongue away.
It's my best feature.
Sad thing is, he's right.
Which I really loved the scene where they were using the camera flash.
Oh, yes.
Looked really great on my OLED screen.
The only thing that hadn't been bought up by him was
the cinema.
Yeah. So they took refuge in the cinema. Yeah. And he turns the lights off. So the only way she can see what's going on is with the camera flash. So it's like almost a black and white stop-go motion. Yeah. It's he's chasing people with the knife. And then the arm up, down.
It's the scene from Blink.
Yes,
when the light's flashing on and off. Yeah. The angels.
Anything else?
Well, just some observations, really, for me. Because where this was filmed, I recognise it.
Canada?
It was filmed in Canada. It was filmed specifically in a small part of a city called Surrey, called Cloverdale. Okay. And if you've seen things like Smallville, for example, I think it was Smallville that was used a lot of Cloverdale. Mm. It was very recognisable to me right from the start that it was a Canadian film, because I could tell by the pedestrian walk sign in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And then I recognised little bits from Cloverdale, including the Clover Cinema, which in fact is actually called Clover, but it's actually a church.
They didn't
change any of the signage there like they may do in some things, but it's actually called the Clover, but it's actually a church.
They just changed Mass on Sunday at 8 a.m. to the movie that was on.
That's
cool.
Other things as well is, like, I was surprised they did their Christmas tree lighting on Christmas Eve, because most places in the U.S. would do it like late November, first weekend of December. That's leaving it really, really late.
That's what they did when we were in Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was late November.
Yeah,
it was all the tree going on.
Also, William B. Davis popping up. That pretty much confirmed that he was.
Yeah.
It was Vancouver, because he's very much a local Vancouver regular actor. You see him in a lot of things that pop up that are filmed in Vancouver.
Where is it meant to be set? Is it Alaska or somewhere
like that? No, it was meant to be set... Well, we know it was somewhere in the US, but we don't know necessarily where. It could be any city US.
Little town America.
Yeah. All of that Aurora, you think, further north,
wouldn't you? Yeah, Alaska sounds somewhat plausible. Yeah. I mean, also... Any one of the northern continental states, like North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
the Auroras don't normally come up this low or something.
Yeah. So that kind of suggests it wouldn't really be Alaska, because you're more likely to see the Aurora in Alaska than most of northern states.
Because that was a sizable lake the bridge was looking out on as well. Mm. Perhaps it was Chicago.
Well, actually, technically, that was Steveston in Richmond.
Okay.
another place I've been. Yeah, that's my problem with a lot of these things now, is that when I lived over in Vancouver, I got to see all the things that were... I could identify anything that was filmed there.
Have you been, now where, been where they filmed Stargate?
Oh, yes. In fact, there was one time when I was riding the SkyTrain back home somewhere, and Stargate was filmed in a place called Bridge Studios, which is right by the SkyTrain line. Mm. And there was one day when they had the doors open on one of the studios, and I just saw the back of the Atlantis Gate. But now I live in Toronto, and I get to see all the things that I recognize from Toronto now. So when I'm looking at the boys... I'm seeing a lot of places I recognise.
I've been there. Yeah. I've walked down that street.
It's a bit like me with movies and go, yeah, that isn't the British Museum. That's the chapel at Greenwich. Mm-hmm.
Once we saw Ramesh Ranganathan in Tesco's.
Yeah. It's like when you see something that's filmed in Cardiff, but it's meant to be London.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not...
If you know Cardiff,
yeah.
Also, if you know London, you sit going... No, that's not the right kind of paving. That's not the right kind of science.
Most of us watch things just because we like them.
But then we also notice these other things.
I don't notice anything.
Because you can't see a blind bin.
The harshness! You wound me!
I would never say that.
You say it. You said it this afternoon! I am wounded. It is Christmas time and you wound me.
Mistletoe and wine?
Don't you go quoting Cliff Richard. All right, then. Watch It's a Wonderful Knife, and please do write to us and tell us what you thought, because we thought it was magnificent, and we hope you do too.
We thought it was magnificently terrible.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
No, I actually thought it was pretty good.
but not in a... I don't want to watch this way.
It was fun. I would happily watch it again, especially with a bit of mulled wine.
Yeah.
So write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Audio quiz time then.
Yay!
Oh, okay.
Have we got to be sensible when answering?
Reasonably. Or have you got...
My hand's ready to go up.
Oh, okay. I thought you suddenly got Parkinson's.
No, I'm trembling. My hand is trembling.
Okay. So the idea is I will play a brief...
Gene, it's not strip poker.
I know. I'd lose.
Your hat's in your jumper.
The hat's behind you,
should probably
have
taken that off
it's
first.
Behind you.
The hat has gone down the back.
The hat's gone down... Oh, darn, the hat seems to have escaped.
Oh,
what a shame.
Adam.
So I will play a little audio clip, and the idea is you have to say what the next line.
Oh,
most of these are pretty easy.
Be
ready, and I will be a little bit lenient. You have to get exact wording of it.
Okay. Use Doctor Who.
It's a mixture.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
When you say you'll be a little bit lenient, if we just say something in English, will that count?
It depends what you say in English, maybe.
Oh, so not very lenient.
Not that. It's not that lenient. We ready?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Okay. First one.
No.
You wanted to come 14 years ago.
I grew up.
I know which episode it's from.
Yes.
11th Hour.
You don't want to do that. It's overrated.
I think you're right. You don't want to do that or something along those lines.
Is that your final?
You didn't want to do that.
Yeah, something like that. You don't want to do that.
Okay, let me play the real thing.
No.
You wanted to come 14 years ago.
I grew up.
Don't worry. I'll soon fix that.
There was a bat in it.
Close, but
his leniency is not showing itself.
Yeah. Okay. Damn it. Number two then. Maybe not such a line in that case, but...
Wow.
What? Do that again.
That's anything from the original series.
I would say that's something from Ghostbusters. But...
Listen carefully. I'll give you the episode if you want to know it. Do you want to know it?
No, no. Do it again.
Okay.
Well, that's definitely towards the latter era of the original.
Is it someone? Was it someone walking on snow?
No. Nope.
Is the next word a scream?
No.
I would thought that that's an ood generating.
Nope.
What's the episode?
Rose.
Ah! Run!
Yeah, they're coming towards her.
Yeah. Yeah. Plastic creature.
Run!
Yep, run.
Well done, you.
I got one. I'm happy. I'm on the board.
You're the only one who is.
Next up, then.
Hey, Doc, you better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
We're going, we don't need no roads.
Sorry, some reason.
Hey, Doc, you better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Do you know which film that's from?
Back to the Future.
One or two?
One and two. Or no, I would say two.
I'd say one.
It's one. Oh. You can tell because the Back to the Future music is playing in the background. It isn't in the
sequel.
They re-recorded it.
I knew it was re-recorded.
Because for the third one, they went back to the past. If it had been the end of the second one, he wouldn't be saying we're going back to the future, we're going back to the past.
They meant the beginning of the second one, not the...
Anyway.
My calm.
Yes, yes, but now you must eat.
Oh, God, I can see the scene.
Kind of find a friend.
Yeah.
It's the second decent Star Wars movie.
Franco's.
Is it? It's Dark Crystal.
No, it is Empire Strikes Back. Okay. I think this is when Luke throws his tantrum. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Because it's when they got he's delved out the soup and they're
They're in the hovel.
How can I eat when there's so much
to do? No, he doesn't know that it's
he doesn't know it's Yoda at the moment.
It's Yoda.
Yeah. Yep.
So is it, are you Master Yoda?
No, I think this is when he throws his tantrum. You know, I don't know what I'm doing here.
No, he throws his tantrum when he knows who Yoda is.
Yes. No, he doesn't.
Ooh, argument time.
I don't think you get it.
Go on then.
Yes, yes, but now you must eat. Come. Good food, come.
Come, good food, come.
Yeah.
Good food.
Nope, didn't get that one. later this evening when we're at home, decent argument about...
Hang on. Shiny pound?
Shiny pound.
Okay, what do you might get?
At this time in the proceedings, it is a tradition for me to make a little speech.
And it's time for us to take a little nap.
Thought you might think of that one.
At this time in the proceedings, it is a tradition for me to make a little speech.
And it's a tradition for us to take a little nap.
We'll have a Christmas one in there. Okay.
Go get Kevin Bacon.
I've got him.
Don't kill him.
I can't remember what it's from. It's Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas
special.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you what the next line was.
I'm not sure what the next line is, but I'm pretty damn sure it's Nebula's.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for why? Well, why not?
Who is he? Probably like, who is he?
No, here we go then. The answer is...
Go get Kevin Bacon.
I've got him.
Don't kill him.
Cannot run me, Bacon!
Number seven.
Perhaps I spoke out of turn.
Or maybe perhaps I'm thinking.
I apologize. I'll make her up a room in the passenger door.
Good.
That's Firefly.
Yeah, it's Firefly.
That's Firefly.
Frasier.
play again. It's the...
Oh, yep. Yeah, no, I know. If you take advantage
of
this
girl, there's a special place in hell.
For child molesters and people who talk at the theatre.
Kind of. It's actually the next bit. But
Perhaps I spoke out of turn.
Or maybe perhaps I'm thinking.
I apologise. I'll make her up a room in the passenger door.
Good.
The special hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that bit.
Yeah.
Okay, another easy one, I think, so be ready.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly, with this laundry list of character defects, all the mistakes I made, largely public.
I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly, with this laundry list of character defects, all the mistakes I made, largely public. The truth is, I am Iron Man.
Yep. Okay, penultimate one then.
Could they be the miners?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're like 3 years old.
Miners, not miners.
Idiot.
Could they be the miners?
Oh, sure. I mean, they're like 3 years old.
Miners, not miners.
You lost me.
Galaxy Quest.
Indeed, Galaxy Quest. And finally then...
But you did see the notice, didn't you? Oh, yes.
It was on display in a locked filing cabinet.
That's the display department.
The lights had gone. So I had to take a torch.
The lights had gone.
So had the stairs.
But you did see the notice, didn't you? Oh, yes. It was on display in the bottom of a locked filing cabinet stuck in a disused lavatory with a sign outside the door saying, Beware of the leopard.
There we go. Who won that? I'm not sure.
I've got no idea.
I think it was a draw.
I got one point.
Yes, you did. You're a clever sausage.
I think we got a communal point for Back to the Future.
I think we've got several communal points, didn't we?
Yeah.
Talking of sausages, it makes me think of food like cake.
Cake. Now, Jay is a guest for this podcast, but it's also recently his birthday. He is 112.
Ooh. And he flew all the way from Canada to be here
for this podcast.
He flew
from Canada.
That's absolutely true.
Now, we have
By
a choice
himself,
of cake.
Using his own arms.
We have a chocolate cake and we have a Christmas cake. Ooh, Jay gets first choice.
Chocolate cake.
I think we're all going for chocolate cake. Yes.
I think Jay's keeping the Christmas cake to take home.
Yes.
Happy birthday,
thank
young
you
man.
Very much.
Happy birthday. Now, dear listener, you can enjoy the sound of us eating chocolate cake. But I suspect
Christmas.
That will be edited down.
anyway,
back to the podcast.
Yes.
Okay, games are over.
Thank God.
Christmas jollity has ended.
Cake has been eaten.
That was a nice cake.
That was a good chocolate cake.
But do you know who didn't get any cake?
Oh, who?
On account of how he has no body.
Oh, yes. Yes, handles.
And...
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
Hello, Inky McSquirts-a-Lot.
Dangerous Churchill, Nazi Spock.
Dinky McSquirts-a-Lot.
Dinky!
Under the hat.
You've put Dinky under the hat.
He's hibernating.
He's wearing a Santa hat.
That's not a hat. That's a sock. It's a stocking.
Various nebulas.
Terence, Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Yep. Oh, hello, Terence. Folded against the radiator, Clara.
Yep. She's got her face covered up again.
Much a big improvement, I think.
Hiding in the bookcase, Moomin.
So many things. And he's put... Adam has put twinkly lights up and there's a little tinsel tree and tinsel everywhere. Yeah. It's positively festive.
Yes.
He hates himself.
I know.
He's sitting here going, when can I take it down?
You can see the twitch on
he's
the side
even,
of
You
his
should
face.
See his Christmas jumper.
Yeah. Oh. Doctor Who.
Yeah. Nice one, that. And it's made of real nylon wool.
Whoa! Get him away from the fire.
Someone take a picture of him. This is the most festive I've seen him in a long time.
And he's wearing a Santa hat.
We're all wearing it. Well, you're not, because you deliberately took your jumper off and made it fall off.
No, that was a crown hat.
Oh, was it? I thought it was a Santa hat.
Still a hat.
You're a very long way away.
I refuse to conform.
You've got shoes on.
Okay, I'll do sometimes.
I'm sorry, did I stamp on your rebelliousness and free spirit? Oh, sweetie, you've never conformed. You're the most non-conformist old lady I know.
And I am proud that I actually bought my first ticket and got a reduction for over 60.
Yes!
Keith... Not that I'm over 60 yet, but I will
you
be
will
when
be
I'm
the time. Keith is over 60 and he was partially woohoo when he got his discount and partially
I am offended.
There's that mixture between of like, at least it's worth, something's worth living this long. When did I get this old? Anyway.
Right, after watching the most wondrous Christmas film ever watched in the past 3 days, we decided to listen to some Big Finish.
Some Christmassy Big Finish.
Only listen to three of the four Big
I haven't
finishes.
Finished my introduction yet.
I'm sorry.
Once again.
Well, I still have only listened to three of the four of them.
I thought it was just
the music!
was just two.
It was. Yeah. The significant ones are just two. Middle. It's the middle two Christmassy episodes.
Right, after all that waffling, we've listened to, was it Ravenous 2?
Yes. Yep.
The middle two, which were Christmassy.
Better Watch Out and Fairy Tale of Salzburg.
Mm. I actually like the first one, but that's because it had to do with robots.
It was really good, wasn't it?
Oh, I haven't heard that one. Okay.
Oh, it's to do with Vox robots.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Dumbs and Super Vox.
Yeah.
But we didn't listen to that one.
Yes, you did.
Well, yes, we did. Technically, officially, we didn't listen to that one.
I didn't listen to it.
We listened to You Better Watch Out, You Better Not Cry, You Better Not Pout, I'm telling you why. Krampus is coming to town. And A Fairy Tale of Salzburg, but we haven't got enough bloopers to do a version of Fairy Tale of New York to that.
So, Keith.
Yes.
What happened in the first one?
Well, after the trials and tribulations of the first disc, the robot one, which nobody listens to.
Caldor City, presumably?
Yes.
It was so good.
The Doctor.
Which Doctor?
I was about to say.
She's in one of those moods,
she
isn't she?
She just butts in, doesn't she? She's recklessly without care in the world.
Is your festive calm dented as well?
She has dented my calm.
I've got to make up for all the ones I've missed recently.
I told the Witch Doctor.
What are you talking about?
It's okay, Jean. I'm so behind on Big Finish stuff.
It is the Doctor, and as I was about to say, number 8, Liv and Helen. As a reward for the stress that they've been through, he takes them to Salzburg on December the 5th. Now, what is significant about December the 5th is because that is when they have Krampus Night in Salzburg, which is an actual tradition.
Krampus Night.
Yes, where various people dress up as the Krampus and his imps and demons and go around the town challenging people to see whether they've been naughty or nice.
It's starting to get more popular over in other places other than mainland Europe now.
Yeah, I think I have noticed within the past 5 years the Krampus itself has become more popular. We've had various films, and these appeared in various cartoons.
Yeah, I got a friend who's around Milton's area. Like this past weekend, a couple of weekends ago, there was a big organization of actual proper Krampus stuff going on there.
Yeah, cool.
And I know that over in, I think it's Seattle or so, there was another one of those Krampusnacht events going on as well.
Oh, I like it when the old stuff comes back.
Definitely gotten more popular recently, within the past 10 years.
I was going to say, I think in the traditional one, if you were on the naughty list, they hit you with willow sticks or something. Yeah.
You'd have a switch put in your stocking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, let's hope in real life it doesn't go the way this one's about to go.
Anyway, they turn up for this, and yes, it's all fun and happiness and jolly. And then
lots of glue wine going
around. Yeah, the group splits up. They meet Mr. Schnacky, the landlord. Schnacky or something, who is being something of a Scrooge. And has upped his rents.
He has.
And is turfing people out. He's already turfed one family out.
Right before Christmas.
Yeah. And he's threatening to turf another family out unless they pay that.
Schaffernack.
Thank you.
And the father of the first lot.
Father of the first family, yes, had committed suicide.
Yeah.
I.e. he jumped off the bridge into the river in hopes that his insurance would be able to pay for the rent.
Yes.
Spoiler music, it didn't.
It didn't.
No, obviously.
It rarely ever does with
that. Yeah, they
stuff.
Don't cover that. I did wonder initially when this was set, but then I assumed it was modern day where they started to have insurance.
I wondered that as well, and then they started saying, the rent was in euros. Okay, I guess it's modern time.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of medieval-ish.
No, but it's apparently set early 21st century sometime.
Yeah. Because, as I said, in Salzburg, the Krampus run is an ongoing thing, happens every year.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Doctor, of course, overhears this, and the Doctor, being the Doctor, interferes.
He's a pocket full of money.
He has. Well, we've seen Sylvester pull out various denominations at one point in time, and I think Doctor number 5 tried to pay off a Lanzarote bill with alien coins.
No. A 5 Narg note.
The 5 Narg note. So he saves them from the rent this week, but of course, or this month, but of course there is next month.
Yeah, the landlord is trying to force everybody out, clearly.
Yeah. It turns out that one of the rumours is that he's been offered a large development bill from...
it's those pesky realtors again.
Yes.
But everyone's got to be out before Christmas.
Yes.
Mm. Meanwhile...
Sort of Liv breaks off with a couple of people that they've met there. I can't remember their names, but they go to get some more glue vine. But as they're going to get more glue vine, they suddenly notice the temperature rising. And I have just missed something. There is also a scene earlier in the story, quite early on in the story, where you have a man standing out on a street corner offering wishes.
Yes.
Which our TARDIS crew do not take him up upon, but they just walk past discussing about the delights of snow, if I remember.
Which Liv doesn't like.
No.
She's
no.
a bit grumpy at the beginning of this
Liv,
one.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I think, yeah, I think Liv all the way through is a bit sarcastic and grumpy.
The festive spirit was not flowing.
No. No, no.
She's a great character.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. The imps and demons are beginning to take on a slightly more nastier form and is beginning to drag people away.
They are.
To the mouths of hell.
To which they claim to Satan or the mouths of hell.
Because everybody is naughty.
Probably taking them to IKEA.
Probably. Anyway, as the story goes on, more and more people are being snatched by the imps. There are more and more imps.
There are.
They come along and invade the house of the landlord and take him away, kicking and screaming. They take his minions away, his bodyguards, who are about to beat up the Doctor for interfering. They get dragged away. The Doctor and Helen liberate Schnacki's car and take out a couple of imps that were threatening Liv and a few other people, and they drive off, and eventually they get overwhelmed by various imps and the Doctor himself.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
He gets dragged away.
The Doctor, I want to say, sacrifices himself to cause a diversion so Liv and Helen could get away.
And they were really taking their time catching on, weren't they?
They were.
They had to tell them about five times.
Yes, yeah. And then suddenly the Alps
start to melt
asunder and a 60-foot Krampus emerges from out of the crack. And all hell breaks loose.
And to misquote an old story, with horns.
With horns.
Was it a glove puppet, do we think?
No, I don't know.
It's someone holding the tail of something.
Okay.
But also, throughout this first disc, well, throughout both discs, actually, but throughout this disc, we have this story being told by two other people. Mm. One, it's the Doctor narrating to
Bruno, some bloke
that we haven't met at the moment. But he's narrating the story. And then there is what sounds like a very old woman narrating the story to a bishop.
Mm. And I know it's not, but the voice of the actress, or the voice Hattie Moran used for Helen Sinclair when she was older, really reminded me of a very, very famous British actress whose name I cannot get, but I didn't put it to this actress. It really, really different voice.
Okay. And that's where this disc ends. Yeah. To be continued.
It's basically one story over two discs.
Yeah.
Or more traditional Big Finish style, really. Oddly sandwiched in the middle of a four-disc box set.
Yeah. The second story, or the second part.
Fairy Tale of Salzburg.
We start back at the beginning where we mostly concentrate on the family who have already been thrown out.
The one whose father jumped in the river.
We hear snippets of the previous disc through the first section as the Doctor and Liv happen to walk past. So you can hear that part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the girl, the daughter, encounters the wish giver.
Ooh, the one on the corner under the lamppost at the beginning.
On the corner at the lamp. And
what wish did she make?
He offers a wish to which she wishes her daddy was back alive, which apparently contravenes certain rules. Yeah. You cannot wish for something that has already happened in the past. You can't correct past mistakes. We can only go forward from this point.
Yeah, I question that, but okay.
Yeah,
also, you need to watch something called The Monkey's Paw.
Mm. We then wish that the Krampus would come from Abenaki? Shelnaki?
Shefanaki.
Shefanaki, thank you. I know it ended
in... say the landlord.
I know it ended in Naki. That's all I can remember. And so he grants the wish that the Krampus will come.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he does. It then follows the main part of the previous disc, to which we then have various shenanigans go on. As again, repeat of the first disc. But we then find out that the remaining townspeople take refuge in the castle.
They do.
And the TARDIS is in the castle. So fortunately, Helen manages to get the TARDIS door open, because she already has a key, and they seek refuge in the TARDIS, while Liv tries to shut down the door, and then is dragged off with all the other imps. Yes. Helen comes up, thinks of a plan, and tries to activate the plan, and lets the imps into the TARDIS. The imps ran in, start taking all the people out of the TARDIS.
They had nearly broken the TARDIS doors down.
Opens the TARDIS, the imps come in, grab all the townspeople, try to grab Helen. She then dematerialises the TARDIS.
She's wearing a seatbelt.
Because she has the seatbelt on, which apparently...
I'm sure the hell that's helping her very much.
It's stopping her from being dragged out.
Yeah, because she left the doors open and all the imps get sucked out into the vortex.
It's the same seatbelt we saw in Timelapse.
I think it could be.
You could easily slip out of that.
It's a different seatbelt.
Anyway. It's a different console room, so...
That's true.
Throughout the whole of this story, we've had two narrators, i.e. the Eighth Doctor and the Old Woman.
Yes.
And it turns out, tun-tun-tun, that the Old Woman is
the Doctor. No.
No, is actually Liv. Actually Helen.
You were doing so well.
I know I was. A very, very old Helen, who has decided to go out and find the Bishop... Benner,
the baby-eating bishop of
Bath and Wells.
No, not the baby-eating bishop of Bath and Wells.
Saint Nicholas, whom
the legend of Santa Claus and Father Christmas are very, very roughly based on.
But we don't know his name for most of it. He's just the bishop.
Yes. He comes back and faces down the Krampus. Because he's such a good, holy and devout man, the Krampus cannot find anything naughty in him.
He cannot bash the bishop. Because the Krampus is a fictional character brought out of myth, religion, what have you.
Uh-huh.
And St. Nicholas is also of that same...
They're basically two sides of the same coin.
Yes. And that resolves that part of the story. All the people come back, including the Doctor and the landlord, who has seen the gates of hell and has decided to...
You can stay here as long as you like, it's fine.
He's done his gifts, gives
them a big gift discount, throws a lot of food at them, all that kind of stuff.
For me.
But Helen...
Oh, yes.
But Helen. The Doctor doesn't notice.
No. Well, this is it. Again, it goes back to the Doctor seeing the aura rather than the people.
Yeah, this was released in 2018, by the way.
Yes.
So this would have been... after the Capaldi and Clara stuff.
Yeah, so it's slightly familiar. But I'd forgot to mention that Liv tried to find the wish giver with the daughter. They find him. She tries to wish it all away, to which the wish giver says, no, you have a wish, but I think you're going to need that later.
Which is interesting, because it implies that the wish giver knows what's going to happen and therefore that all of this was pointless.
There are more things in heaven.
But it also implies that the wish giver isn't necessarily malice. Malicious by intent.
The wish giver is just neutral.
Yeah.
So Helen's dying.
Helen is dying from old age. So then Liv wishes her youth back, wishes her back how she was.
Yeah.
And everything ends happily ever after. Except, of course, that the father is still dead.
Or is he?
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, Bruno. Who the Doctor is narrating this story to, is actually the father. What has happened is the Doctor has found him before he committed suicide, taken him out of time, shown him what will happen if he commits suicide, and then places him back at the end so everything is nice, hunky-dory.
Oh, my God. It's like It's a Wonderful Knife all over again.
Is it a Christmas audio?
It's set at Christmas. I suppose if you remove the Krampus, you have to insert something
they
else.
They even have a Christmas dinner at the end.
Yes. Yes.
How can you say it's not a Christmas audio?
That could be a Thanksgiving dinner.
If you've forgotten, we don't do Thanksgiving. Oh, no, it's Salzburg.
They don't do Thanksgiving either. I don't know what they do.
Actually, if you can keep your head round the three-stage narrative of the doctor and the bloke, the old lady and
the bishop,
and what is actually going on. It's a good story.
It is good. I enjoyed it.
It follows along.
They're both really good.
I frequently, because I don't listen to these box sets in order, when we review them, I'm listening to them going, who the hell's that? Like, I have no idea where Helen's come from. She's just turned up as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you must have heard her in other stuff.
Possibly. But so I kind of like go with the flow that either there's someone I haven't met, but obviously the doctor knows, or it'll be revealed at the end. So I no longer question while I'm listening to them, who is this person?
Yeah, I was a little puzzled right at the beginning as well, because I was thinking that this Bruno guy was a holdover from the first disc, which I hadn't listened to.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
So I was a little bit confused there, but okay, everything all came together at the end. Yeah. And that, as Keith said, I mean, all tied up very nicely and was, I think, a good story.
And so even if you don't know who's who and where's where, these two discs hang well together.
Yeah.
It's got a defined beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, and then I must admit, I've got really no familiarity with either Liv or Helen.
Yeah.
And after them doing whatever they were doing, I managed to kind of pick up where they were from little bits that were mentioned and stuff.
Yeah.
And it really didn't detract from the story too much.
If you get to listen to any more, Liv and Helen are excellent, especially Liv. Liv's a cracking character. She's played by Nicola Walker.
Okay. I do not know who that is.
She's in Spook.
He won't have necessarily seen the murder mystery that she does.
Annika.
Hmm.
And she was also in Unforgotten and Spooks. Yeah,
but they may not have transmitted across the pond.
Ah, yes, of course.
Don't be fooled by the accent.
I can only get so many things on things like BritBox out there, so...
Okay.
This is a good example of Liv. She's a wonderfully sardonic, sarcastic character.
Psychotic as well, slightly. So you probably might there. Yeah,
when she gets stressed, she gets more sarcastic.
She does. She gets stressed a lot.
She does. She does.
Be a Chris story, it's one where everybody lives.
Yeah.
Which is a little unusual, particularly for Big Finish, I think.
Oh, yeah. Kill them off at the drop of a hat. Yeah.
It's more common now in modern Who, but Big Finish, for everybody to live.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
We could argue that the Krampus didn't.
Ah, but was he alive to begin with?
Well, he was kind of banished, really, rather than killed.
Depends where he was banished to. If he was banished to Old Trafford, then he might as well be dead.
Ooh, it's a bit harsh on Old Trafford.
Gone to live with that creature for the end of season two, is it? Oh, yeah, season two of Torchwood.
Mm. Oh, the...
Abaddon.
The Benny Monster.
Yeah.
Benny Monster. Yay. It was Benny's birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Benny.
I share a birthday with Benny?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
He's a lot older than you.
Mm.
This is not the Woody Hat Benny.
No.
This is Climb the Clock Tower. Benny, smash!
Oh, okay.
I think the nice thing with this is, it is, as we were saying, you know, there is that thing of like, so when is this set? And then you get the Euros and that kind of thing. And it encapsulates that a lot of the Christmas traditions, the markets and everything else are fairly timeless.
Yes.
You know, you could land in most living rooms in Britain after a certain point and there'll be a Christmas tree, or around Europe that Krampus would be involved. So I like that fact that it tied in that old-fashioned taste of Christmas but wasn't necessarily set in the past.
Also, it tries to give the flavour of Victorian Christmas, doesn't it? With this family who are about to be evicted by the evil landlord.
There's quite a few influences. We have It's a Wonderful Dickens, Life,
Christmas
Scrooge,
Carol,
Christmas Carol.
He's ignoring totally all the laws and legislation around landlord and tenant, notes to quits.
Oh, completely.
But no, I enjoyed all three episodes, but these two I really enjoyed. And it took a little while to get my head around the different time points, yeah, because not only have we got three new narrators, they are not narrating linearly.
No, yeah. Unreliable witness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's yeah. like, well, yeah, I know we're looking at that now, but we'll go back to this then, and it's like, but it didn't make, it wasn't difficult to follow, no, even no, though it was yeah. doing that, yeah. it wasn't difficult. It was a bit like you see the first part of the film, now we're going back and we're seeing it from another perspective.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I love the little imps. Oh, they sound so vicious.
You've been naughty, haven't you?
Oh, little mean so-and-so.
I do like the fact when, at one point, Liv lumps one of the imps.
Oh, yeah, right.
Knocks it unconscious, and she tries to pull the mask off, and yeah. it's the reaction of, oh, no, that goes all the way down.
It's not a mask.
Like the way they step in, they know how to deal with this
yeah.
at this point.
Yeah,
they know how the Doctor would do it.
Yeah.
They're willing to put their lives on the
line.
They
immediately take over. Yeah. It's an old, well, they're on holiday, so something bound to go
yeah,
wrong.
Is, yeah. Well, they did have to take over anyway, because the second disc was especially Dr. Light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He disappeared to the gates of hell.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for Helen spending decades in learning how to fly the TARDIS, then
and I do it may not have been a result. She says, he makes it look easier than it is.
Because she's a trained linguist. She used to, in the National History Museum, she used to crack ancient language. So yeah. Learning Gallifreyan would be a doddle for her. No.
I'm going to have to listen to the last story as well, because I've listened to the first one.
The last story licks back into the overall arc.
Yeah, because how many box sets are there in Ravenous? Is it four?
I think it's four.
Effectively, we're looking at 16, probably, discs.
But it's definitely seasonal. Yeah.
After Chimes of Midnight, this is my second favourite. Putting the two together as one story.
Yeah.
It's my second favourite Christmas story.
Yeah. Okay. You get the definite Christmas vibe with the whole thing. So.
Oh, there is heavy overtones of Scrooge
been discussing earlier, there are some stories where you could cut this Christmas element out and it doesn't destabilise the story. If you cut the Christmas element out of this, it would, I think, destabilise the story.
There'd be no story.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I don't know. You could have creatures come along and steal people. Don't have to have that naughty and nice thing, really.
No, but it's...
Well, then you're changing the story, aren't you?
No, it's a case of they were there because she was wishing for the Krampus.
She could have wished for all the evil people in the world to be taken.
But that's not what she was wishing for. Yeah,
no,
she was wishing for one person.
It would be difficult to rewrite this for not to be a Christmas.
She wouldn't be wishing for all the evil person. She'd be just wishing for one particular person to be taken.
Anything else? Right. I don't think so. Ravenous 2, the two Christmas stories in the middle. We loved them. We'd love you to listen to them before Christmas. And then tell us what you thought of them by writing to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Right, some of you have sent festive greetings to us.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, it's very nice of you. Thank you so much. Sorry.
Christopher Page, he says, no comments on any particular episode, just a general hello, thank you, and a wish of a happy holiday and new year. It's always a joy to tune into the show and hear the group kerfuddle over Doctor Who or whatever film you happen to go and watch. Kerfuddle
I'm going to have to use that word. That's an excellent word. Yeah.
I also find I get a lot of my entertainment news from you as well. I'm sure if I tried, I could find a source that didn't require me to listen to a podcast, but where is the fun in that? That's all. Short and sweet. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for providing a fun and entertaining hour of a podcast. Christopher from the timeshifterspodcast.com. Thanks, Chris.
Gonna have to listen to that one.
Yes.
Do we owe our listeners an apology before we go on to the next ones?
Well, no? Probably, before. Yeah. What have we done now?
Before. Because we haven't done the annual Christmas card.
No Christmas card this year.
So we apologise to anyone that's been emailing our presidente going, when you do the card, let me know what you want to post. We haven't forgotten you all. We still love you. Just
life got in the way.
But you did get one Christmas card. I gave you one just
got
on Friday.
Yeah. Yes. And we got a Christmas card from Andy.
Over there.
Nanny.
Yeah.
But now you know what it's like to not have a Christmas card. Now you know. So you won't take it for granted anymore, will you?
Krampus.
My throat hurts.
That was in Jurassic Park. They said life finds a way, but this time it was just life just got in the way.
Yeah.
We have a bit of audio feedback here.
Who from?
Who from?
From the Dragon Maker.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Catherine.
Catherine.
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terrence. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty, and hello, Head of Pertwee. I would like to claim that I was too busy this past week to watch, listen, experience either Highlander 2, sorry, no such film exists, The Highlanders. And in fact, I do have a good excuse.
Huh?
You see, friends of mine hold a 3-day holidays party, and I spent a week with them getting ready for the event. Pretty much nothing else got done, but it was great listening to the podcast on my drive down to their place. Anyway, you got it right that Highlander 2 is a pretty crap movie.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, if you review Highlander 3 in another 10 years, will you review The Highlanders again?
Maybe.
If so, maybe by then I will have seen, listened to, read the story. I make no promises, however. I know myself too well. It took a lot of doing and traveling to another state, but I have finally been able to watch the first 3 episodes of Skeleton Crew. Disney and I are having issues, it seems.
Weird.
But the show has been really interesting in a Star Wars meets the Goonies kind of way.
Right.
Not that I've seen the Goonies, but that's neither here nor there. Is Terrence still in the kitchen? Do you have any food left in there at this point, Adam?
All gone.
Is he actually playing D&D with y'all, or is he just a mascot?
Right.
I'd love to know what character class he chose.
He did participate.
Anyway, rush. Must get this done and out to you before you finish recording tonight. Be well, and happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas
to you.
Catherine the
Dragon
Maker.
Happy Christmas, Catherine.
Happy Christmas, Catherine.
Happy Crimbo.
Oh, see, Terrence comes and joins in the D&D.
Terrence has done, yes.
I can't.
I think we should make a pact here.
Yeah.
Oh.
When they do finally release the Highlanders as animation, we have to do Highlander 3.
Yes.
Whatever that thing's called.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah.
We will do that.
Yeah.
Hands in.
So I'm confused as to all this Highlanders 1, 2, 3.
There shouldn't have been Highlander 2 and
3. The only one.
Yeah, just remember
Highlander
there can be
been a
only
one-off.
One.
I think
so
it's actually
Highlander
5.
Is Highlander a movie or a TV series?
Yes.
They did both.
Which? Oh, both.
Highlander the film is a damn good film.
The
they
first
should have stopped
film
there.
Called Highlander.
The whole concept of the film is that there could only be one. And then they thought, actually, we can make some money out of this. Let's spoil it and have another one. Let's make it into a series and completely defeat the object of the film.
Good soundtrack. Really interesting idea.
Queen did the music. Mm. But this is a happy time. This is Christmas.
They are currently remaking Highlander, if it will ever get out of development hell.
I don't care. Okay.
And while I did not send any feedback for the last episode, since I'm here, I will say that I did watch Highlander 2, and it was pants.
Yes.
This was many, many years ago. Unfortunately, I have managed to forget most of it, so
you're not forgetting.
I'm having a little bit of PTSD coming back after listening to last week's last time's podcast. So thank you for that. I think.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
This is the point where I usually say, "Lead us out, Crumbly."
No. Well, I couldn't,
but he's not here.
Would you like me to
lead us out, Jay?
And so that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
Thank God.
But never fear. Next time, there'll be more of the same.
Oh,
more
God.
News and reviews. More Who Old and New.
Why me?
So until that...
K for Krampus.
Ooh. K for Krampus. Knackered.
Night.
Kit Kat. Nomming. Knave. With knickers on.
Comes nobbling.
Down
the Knacker's Yard.
Knock 100 Avenue.
Good nightly.
Towards us.
This is me, Jay, saying, see you.
It's me, Stephen, saying, goodbye.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
It's the neutrinos. They're mutating.
You have been listening to Staggering Stories Podcast, Series 1, Number 461, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler, Stephen Clare, Jay, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net. Could you please turn this monstrosity off?
Excuse me.
Best album ever.
Sorry?
Not you.
Oh, okay. I know the whole thing about tapping the microphone and stuff is definitely
going
on.
Yes, Gene.
I know. don't. My feet aren't near me. It's someone getting up and down past it.
Facebook puts up a lot of memories where I've just gone, editing podcast number 312. I'm going to kill Jean when I see her. Take the microphone 9 times.
Why am I for the last three months? Testing, testing, eyes wide dry.
Yeah, you're just a bit quiet.
That won't be a problem for me.
No, that won't be a problem once we get started.
Okay.
Some gentle Christmas music in the background.
Sort of gentle
not Star Wars Christmas music. You like to stress
that. Are we recording?
We are recording.
Doctor Who news?
Well, yes. I'm not even on the right page yet.
Don't read it.
There's not many pages.
There is. I've got like 12 tabs open.
Oh.
Ooh, throw that teddy out of the pram then.
You have ruined it for me. Ruined it, woman. Ruined.
Audio quiz. Audio quiz.
We have always have good intentions with these.
Yeah.
When you know the answer, you will raise your hand. That's what's agreed beforehand.
Bollocks.
That doesn't ever happen. One year, he gave us buzzers.
Considering the person who usually jumps up and down when they've got...
Don't look, she's sitting right there.
Why am I looking at you?
I don't know any of the answers.
Well, whilst Adam's setting up for that game, I'll do one that we can talk about now.
Okay.
So, if you could have any of the Doctor Who Christmas specials remade, but you have one actor and the rest of the characters are played by Muppets... Which would you do?
It'd have to be the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe one. That's it. The only thing that would make that a decent Christmas would be Muppets.
I like the idea of the snowman.
Who would be the real character?
You just,
I would like, okay, the snowman with Richard E. Grant being the only real character.
Okay. I think I would go with Voyage of the Damned, but Kylie and the Muppets.
Kylie and the Muppets, yeah. It's like an 80s group, isn't it?
That was going to be the one I was going to suggest, but with Kylie, yeah. I'm going to go for the first new Christmas special that we had. I can't remember the name of it.
Christmas Invasion?
The Christmas Invasion. So I'm going to have Rose as the real character and everyone else can be the Muppet.
Excellent.
Okay,
who would the Doctor
case...
be played by?
Kermit.
In that case, I will have to go with Runaway Bride with Catherine Tate.
That's the only.
Oh my God, Catherine Tate and Muppets.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out, as Disney now have Star Wars and Muppets, when are we doing a Star Wars Muppet movie?
Can you imagine remaking A New Hope with Darth Vader, the only real one? Harrison Ford. Just to see him kiss Leia.
Just to see him kiss Miss Kermit.
This is it. How would he play it? Would he play it as them as actors or himself as a Muppet?
Like, was it Tim Curry played himself as a Muppet? Mm. Michael Caine played the rest of them as actors?
Yeah. Adam, what would you pick?
Oh... Maybe Voyage of the Damned. Yeah. I think lots of those characters are pretty Muppet-like already. So I think, you could have Kylie as Miss Piggy.
No. Oh. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would the human be?
You've got one human.
One human.
The Queen.
Do we count the Doctor as the human?
You can.
Yeah.
One real person.
Yeah, he'd be. And then Mr. Copper would be either Statler or Waldorf.
Yeah.
We don't listen to this stuff. We just record it. We don't know what we do.
Catherine the Dragon Maker. Ooh. Hi, Catherine.
Hello,
I wonder
Catherine.
How her fight was, because it was very windy that day. Sorry, I do apologise. Someone cut that one out. Again.
Even so, we wonder how Naya's flight was.
We wonder how Naya's flight was back home.
My barbarian gnome is named? Called... It's called Buttock the Vague.
I can see you as an NPC.
I'd be a good NPC. I can see the exclamation mark over my head.
Yeah. Isn't nomine N?
And I needed no prompt.
No, with the K. The
K-N.
With the N, it's just from the Latin, but with the K-N, it's the Saxon version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael McIntyre the other day did this thing about there should be a silent letter day. On a wedding day, and we can know what we need to do.
with our knives.
All the silent letters.
Sorry,
you
did you say Kneed? Like, where's there a silent K in Kneed?
It's with the bread.
Oh, with the bread. Okay. Yeah.
Shut up. I'll hit you with my tablet. Will I you?
Om Madni Padme Om. Om Madni Padme Om.
I'm going to hit Om both of you with each other. Ooh. Those are the other speakers on the site. This is Arf.
Oh, so close.
No copyright infringement.
So close.
No copyright infringement.
I know. Copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net. Woo! You come to something when your listeners are telling you. Microphones off, people.
I can never remember crumbling the outer a bit.
So. I'm just saying something when our listeners know more about the weather.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it, but I will now, because he dented my calm. You missed out fun frivolity and jollity.
Oh, yeah.